looking through the divine nature that was on the inside of me. I wasn't looking through the things that God had placed within me and brought to remembrance, the things that I knew He had spoke to me. See, you got to think about them things, and you've got to stir yourself up. That's why Paul told Timothy, stir yourself up. I know it's written to pastors, to a young pastor, but it is across the board. We've got to stir ourselves up once in a while. You've got to fan the flames once in a while. You start getting into just a regular routine of things, and church can become routine to where it's just, well, it's just what I do on Sunday morning. Well, ought to be more than just what you do on Sunday morning. Because church isn't a place. You're the church.
Amen.
This is just a building you need in.
Yeah.
This isn't the church. You can go in a parking lot, have church. You can be in a house and have church. As long as the church gathers together, which is people. So it ought to be just not be mundane. I didn't get through half of what I got here. I know I never do. But we need to put some things on, and we need to put on Christ. I was thinking about that, put on, and the Lord brought to my remembrance the story of David when he went to fight Goliath, and Saul gave him his armor, and David tried to put it on, and David was just like, "This don't fit." See, we've got that residue and remnant of the world, and we will try to bring the world into the church and put the world on and have church, and it doesn't work.
Right.
You got to put the world off and put on your new creation realities of who you are, your righteousness. Put on your divine nature, meaning that divine nature is on the inside, but it's got to come out, and you've got to put it on, and you've got to be able to be bold enough. The Bible tells us in Hebrews that we are to come boldly to the throne of grace. Well, I'm going to read that to you quick. We need to come boldly to the throne of grace. Hebrews chapter 4, I'm going to read this out of the New Living. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 says, "That is why we have a great high priest who has gone to heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, letting us cling to Him and never stop trusting Him. The high priest of ours understands our weakness." See, Jesus understands, I believe it is the King James says that He was tempted in all points. It means He knows exactly what you've gone through. He's been tempted in these areas. We've got a high priest that's been tempted. Your neighbor may not have been tempted like you. Your spouse may not have been tempted like you. Your co-worker may not have been tempted like you. But we got to stop looking at that and stop exalting the things that we're being tempted in. Because in actuality, we do that sometimes. And that is a form of pride. Is we go around and we talk about, well, you don't know what I'm going through. As if it's a badge. Guess what? I got the worst flu out of all of us. You're all just slinging snot, but I'm coughing it up and slinging
it. Yeah. Thank you.
Too much of a picture? Anyway, we've got a great high priest. A high priest that understands our weakness. Jesus understands our weaknesses. He understands the humanity side of us, because there is a humanity side. He came to earth in the form of humanity, but lived out of His divinity. He understands that weakness. But to purge that weakness out, we renew our mind. And then it goes on to say here, it says, "For He faced all of the same temptation as you, yet did not sin." Verse 16, "So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive mercy." There we will receive mercy. When we're dealing with something, we need to go before God because we need mercy. Can you all agree we need mercy? But it doesn't stop at just needing mercy. That's why I love the New Living Translation, because it says, and we will find grace to help us when we need it. We need to spend enough time in the presence of God, not just for mercy, but then to ask Him grace, you know, it's just a favor of God. We need to stay there long enough and ask Him for a favor and then get the answer. And we'll find grace. And we'll find grace. Means you get in there, you get in the presence of God and you say, "God, mercy. Mercy, I need your mercy. I'm struggling in this area. My body's struggling in this area. My finances are struggling. My marriage is struggling. I need mercy right now. I've done some foolish things. I've made some poor decisions. I've treated my body poorly, and there's a negative effect on it. Lord, I need your mercy right now. Boom, mercy comes. And then it says, and you'll find grace. And then then we say the line and say, and Lord, I just don't need your mercy. I need a favor. I need a favor. And you'll say, well, what is that favor, son? What is that favor, daughter? I don't want to suffer the full consequence of my stupidity. I can do that for you. See, some people think because you make a stupid mistake or you do something ridiculous or make a wrong decision, we actually beat ourselves up. We think, well, I'm going to have to suffer this one. I'll, you know. You go to the Father and say, Father, I need a favor. They say, what do you need a favor for? My stupidity. I made a really wrong decision. It's like, okay, I can do that for you. I can get you out of that. Not a problem. You're not going to have to suffer the consequence that you would normally have to suffer. We're going to lighten the load a little bit for you. He says, I thank you, Jesus. I don't know about you, but I need mercy and grace.
Yeah.
I said, I need mercy and grace.
Yeah.
Praise God. But you only get that when you live out of your divinity, because you've got to go to the Father. You've got to go and get into His presence. You've got to humble yourself. The last thing we need to do when things are going difficult, or when we realize that we're living out of our humanity, is to run away from God. We need to run back to God. Cast off that human side of us, that humanity side of us. How many have ever heard the phrase, too spiritually minded to be of any earthly good?
Good?
I don't buy into that anymore. Really never did, but more so now as I'm walking in this. I would be more likely to say that the phrase should be, is you're too earthly minded to be any spiritually good.
Yeah.
And many of us, that's where we're at. We're just too earthly minded. We've been trained in a lot of things in the world, and if you're not careful, you watch the news, you watch your reality TV shows, and I'm not saying don't watch TV, but I'm telling you guys, I'm giving you fair warning. The more of that you feed on, the more you will walk in the humanity side, the more you will not see results in your life. You begin to purge that stuff out of your life. You begin to remove your stuff. You begin to not let the world have influence in your life. And you will begin to shift over into your divinity side. And when you begin to shift over in your divinity side, everything in your life will begin to come in order. And not just everything in your life. My whole purpose of the message is not for everything just to come in your life. It's not to stop when your life comes in order. It's when your life is coming in order that you're going out into the world. You're preaching the gospel. You're making disciples. You're showing how people how to walk in the same thing, teaching them the same thing that you've learned and how you're walking in it. Because our sole purpose, our main purpose, the reason I preach this message and I started it off, Jesus came to restore things back to its original state. Why? To advance the kingdom of God, for heaven to be on earth. The Bible says that He wants heaven on earth. We need to be the church that is advancing the kingdom of God. We need to be the church that it says the gates of hell will not prevail against. Gates is what holds people back. There are lost, dying people behind the gates that are being held back from Satan. But the Bible says that the gates of hell will not prevail, which means those gates that are holding back the lost and the dying, the sick, the brokenhearted, the ones that are bound by sickness, by disease, by drug addiction, and all the other things, the gates of hell can't hold back the church. But you're not going to know that unless you walk in your divinity. If you try to beat the enemy on his grounds with your human side, you will get beat every time. The same story about David and Goliath. Goliath was sitting there shouting and he said, send me a man, send me a man. That's just what the enemy wants you to do. He wants you to come out with your natural thinking and in your own natural power. And David said, but I ain't a man. I'm not coming to you in a man. I'm just a young boy. I'm coming to you in the covenant and the power of God. And there's nothing that will stop me. My God said that we will prevail. My God said that we will succeed. My God said that we are more powerful. My God said that we are able. So we are able, glory to God. And when you walk in that divinity, when you walk in your place that God has placed you in, when you walk in the restoration and the restored power that God gave you through the Holy Ghost, there is nothing that can hold you back. There is nothing that can stop you from fulfilling your destiny. Absolutely nothing can hold you back. But you've got to understand, get out of your head, get out of your carnal man, and get into the Holy Spirit and your spirit on the inside that are joined together, and start living out of that. Start breathing out of that. Start eating out of that. God has
that his word was bread. He said that he would fill us.
Guys, we want to see things in the church. The church is waiting on us.
He said, occupy till I come. Luke chapter 19. Occupy till I come. Occupy till I come. Well, what does an occupying force do? In the natural and the military, what does an occupying force do? It says that Jesus already won the victory, so Jesus has won the war. But then there are military groups, military forces that are put into a situation that has been conquered to keep order. We're the church. We are to occupy till he comes, which means we are to keep the enemy at bay. We are to keep the enemy out. We are to tell the enemy, no, you can't come in here and rule and have dominion because you have been beat, you have been defeated. We are here to enforce what Jesus has already accomplished.
Yes.
We're not trying to accomplish it. We are enforcing it.
Yes.
We are an occupying force. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm just going to read that to you quick. We'll close with this. It's getting late. Military occupation. The Webster's Dictionary is we're to occupy. Occupy. We are divine human beings, so we are to occupy. We are taking the place of Christ. Christ said, I'm leaving, I'm giving you the Holy Ghost. Now it's your turn to occupy. It's your turn to do what I did. But the Webster Dictionary says, to control and possession of hostile territory that enables an invading nation to establish military government against an enemy or martial law against rebels or insurrections in its own territory. We are to control and possess hostile territory. Do you know once this was hostile territory? In every place there's a local church, is a community or an occupation of believers. And then after they meet, they go out. And that occupation goes into their neighborhood and goes into their workplace. And you carry that divine DNA with you and you go into these places. We are to occupy. We are to occupy. Let's just rise up and do what we're to do.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm done having church as usual. I've been saying that for several years, and we're not having church as usual, but I keep saying it because otherwise I can slip back into that old habit. I'm not having church as usual. I'm not just showing up. We're not just showing up in California to just have a wonderful time from 10 until noon and then we go home and just live life like we've always lived it. Deal with the same colds, the same flus, the same this, the same that, the same doctor's reports. You know, I really don't give a rip about the doctor's reports. I'm telling you. I'm even sick of people coming up to me and saying, people that, well, we have people in our midst, and I'm not saying anything. Please don't walk away thinking, well, man, Pastor Steve, you're pretty hard. It's just like, you know, you don't know what I'm dealing with. And I don't. And you know, you've got to operate in faith where you're at, but you've got to operate in faith. Apply and add faith as an ingredient to what you're doing. But people come up to me all the time, and they'll go into the doctor and they'll say, well, Pastor Steve, play with me for a good report. I thought you had a good report. My question to him is what are you going to do if you don't get a good report? This better be the report we're going to the doctor with. Doesn't make any difference what he says, because if we're basing our healing and we're basing what we're believing for on his report, well, I'm just going to say he may or may not make it.
That's true. Giants and
you've got divinity within humanity. I said, you've got divinity within humanity. When he took out that old dead spirit man and placed within you a brand new spirit, that was a spirit that put you back in position to where you are created in his likeness and his image. When he filled you with the Holy Ghost, he breathed back in you just like he breathed in Adam the breath of life. The life of God flows in you. The only thing that it is that it needs to flow out of you. It's not just good enough to have it flowing in you. It needs to flow out of you. Amen? Praise God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you tonight for this opportunity to share your word. I thank you, Father, that We've been empowered by your Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we thank you for taking up residence on the inside of us, and that we truly are more than conquerors. It's not just a nice phrase, and it's not just a scripture, but we truly are more than conquerors through Christ. It's only through Christ, the anointed one and his anointing that lives on the inside of us. And Father, I pray that as we leave here tonight, each one of us will gain a greater revelation of the divine side that lives in us, that we would step out of and step over from that human side, the humanity side, and step more into the divinity and divine side of who we were created to be and what we were created to do, to bring restoration and to occupy until Jesus comes back. Thank you, Father, that you've empowered us. Thank you that you've gifted us. Thank you that you've put within us everything that we need to accomplish what you've called the church to accomplish. And I just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Pastor Dwayne.